Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, this is Truth Be Told Transformation, and I'm Bonnie Burkert, here to share tools for transformation to live your highest truth. There's an old adage, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. So I've invited somebody who I consider one of my teachers and also who is a guide for so many, Greg Friedman, onto the show here in the studio with me today to talk about that search for finding a teacher and ultimately, is the teacher within? Hello, Greg. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Well, I can answer that and we could be done with the show. Yes. The teacher's within. But go ahead.
And yet, you've got a show called Inner Journey, and that's how I titled this show. And you've got many, many speakers. And I wanted to ask your experience of all these wonderful teachers that you have on to share wisdom for personal development. And our fascination with listening to this and hearing it and needing to continually hear it to, I guess, turn inward and be able to execute, to walk that talk.
A lot of people think that that show is altruistic. The honest truth is I'm a very slow learner. And I get to have the opportunity to have some of the greatest minds, hearts, souls that are alive today on my program. People like Greg Braden, Neil Donald Walsh, Bruce Lipton, Carolyn Mace, and even Marianne Williamson. And I figure, and I'm a kid in the candy shop. I could ask them anything I want for an hour and a half. And if I teach enough people, maybe I'll learn the lesson as well.
Well, great. And I feel the same reason, you know, same way. That's one of the reasons that I'm doing the show here myself. And yet at the same time, I do like to leave people very specifically with something that they can take away. So I know at the top of your show, you always have some pearls of wisdom to guide people. And I just wanted to say, where do you sort of find that information that you want to share on a weekly basis? Where does that come from?
Well, in the very beginning, when I started doing that program, I would write out this long, intense monologue. And then I would write paragraphs. Then I would write bullet points. And then I would go in with a topic. And now I just go in and I go, all right, universe, what am I supposed to talk about?
Okay, yeah.
And if I listen, and that is what I have found the key to so many things in life. Be in alignment. If you're in alignment, then you're in the flow and everything you need will come to you.
What are some of the ways you stay aligned?
Oof. There are so many things that are necessary for me. Because they're necessary for me doesn't mean that they're necessary for anybody else. Part of it is the basic stuff. Eat well, exercise well. For me, I need to smudge. I need to make sure that I have dragon's blood or sage or tobacco that I offer on a regular basis. And in doing so, I bring in the Native American tradition, there's a saying that I love that I was taught a long, long time ago. The Native Americans gave the white man tobacco, but they never taught him how to smoke. Mm. Smoking is a prayer. And most people don't know that. When you inhale, what you're doing is bringing that intention into your being, into your body, making it a part of you, melding with it. And then when you exhale, you're releasing in faith to the universe. Not that you will get the very thing that you're asking for, but the asking will help you get what you need.
Okay, that's wonderful. So interesting. We probably fell off the original intention of smoking. Let's just stay on that for a minute. I love the idea of the peace pipe, and but I don't. I think in our traditions, we haven't heard about that in a long time. I mean, smoking is very taboo, and for some, for many. Mm-hmm. It's bringing it back to the breath, wouldn't you say?
It brings it back to the breath, yes, but or and. For example, you just did Parapod, Truth Be Told did a lot with Parapod, and one of the speakers there was a man named Ernie LaPointe.
Yes.
Ernie was very specific, as are many Lakota that I know. If you're going to see an elder, you bring tobacco. Tobacco is sacred, and it's an offering, and it is a sign of respect that's tangible, that's tactile. And if those things, there's so many things that we abuse that instead of abusing them, if we employed them, wouldn't be taboo. They wouldn't be something that would be detrimental to us. They would be something that serves our entire beings.
Yes. So when you spoke with Ernie, I just want to say thank you and acknowledge that you are a moderator for the event at Parapod. And also Tony Sweet, our producer, has spoken with Ernie on interviews as well. So I know that one of the offerings that you have for people to work with you is that is through Native American traditions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to acknowledge and thank you for your work, and because specifically you do know about the Lakota traditions in speaking with Ernie, correct?
Lakota, I am incredibly blessed. The Yaqui are the chief and the medicine man consider me their brother. Lakota, I have been able to do ceremony and ritual and be instrumental in lodges as well, and all of it is, I can't even begin to tell you the effect that it's had on me, and as a result of having it on me, the tools it has given me to be able to guide other people with it.
Yeah. Let's talk about the lodges, because I've had a chance to do sweat lodges through the years, and I think it would be great, and I'm always encouraging Greg, like, when are we going to do some sweat lodges up here in the, you know, Hollywood area for sure? And so let's talk about that as a tool for transformation. So for somebody that's never had the experience of a sweat lodge, I mean, let's talk a little bit about what that is and really kind of the higher aspects of what you can get out of it.
Well, like any journey, it begins far before the actual event.
Okay.
And it integrates far afterwards. It starts with intention. What would you like for yourself as a result of having gone through this? And then if you are a fire keeper, you begin early in the day, and people would say, oh, you're going to go choose rocks to put into the fire. It's exactly the opposite. They say that the rocks are the oldest things on the planet, and therefore they have the wisdom because they've seen it all. So if you listen very carefully, if you're in alignment, you're going to hear which rocks call to you because they're going to have something that they'd like to share during that lodge. And you choose the rocks, or I'm sorry, you allow the rocks to choose themselves. You put them into the fire, and then you create with the masculine and feminine in conjunction with one another, the fire, and those rocks get heated up, and then hours later, they are literally pulsating in a red-orange glow.
Oh my God, amazing.
And then everybody that's about to participate gets smudged. They enter in, and you enter in according to age. The oldest having the seat of honor wherever they'd like to sit, and then in descending order, because it's very important in Lakota traditions and most indigenous traditions that the elders are recognized, acknowledged, respected, appreciated. An elder is often confused in our society to equate to old. It's not necessarily, but it also is. You go into the lodge, and then the Inipi is shut, and you're in an environment where you literally cannot see your hand in front of your face. I mean, it's that dark, it's that well sealed. And then there are songs, and there's prayers, and there's water poured under the rocks, and it gets hotter and hotter and hotter. And this is the equivalent of going into the womb of Mother Earth. And it's a birthing process. Mm. There are prayers for self in one round, prayers for others in another round. And then there's the dream round. And then there's the release. Mm. And then after every round, it gets hotter and hotter. And when I say hot, I mean literally hotter than humans are supposed to be able to endure. And yet we do. And we do that because we are so much more than our bodies. We're so much more than the limitations that we set upon ourselves. And in recognizing that in a visceral way, in an experiential way, then you could take those limitations and shed them in your everyday life if you remember who you are.
Well, I mean, you make it sound so crystal clear, and yet I have been in those in the heat before. I remember I did have to leave one time, probably the first time I ever did it. I think I had to leave. And so how does so this is really getting down to the physical. So I'm just going to ask you, I mean, how does somebody, just as an example of the sweat lodge, but how do we get through that? I'm hot. I don't feel good. How do you find the strength to stay in it?
It's not about finding the strength to stay in it. It's about finding the strength to let go.
Okay.
Because if you can let go, then you can have. If your arms are full of angst or thoughts or patterns or whatever it is that we carry into that lodge, then how are we going to be born again anew when we exit the lodge?
Yeah.
The whole process is to release, because the more that we release, the more hollow bone we are, the more that we understand that the only reality is this moment. Everything else is either a projection into the past or a projection into the future. Mm. But this moment is the only true moment. And we're not even sure that's real.
I know, exactly. That part of it is all really confusing and intense. I think all the more reason with what's going on, digital AI, all of that, all the more reason to connect with nature. And I feel that that is something that you has been a huge part of your practice. And the tours that you lead to into natural settings to listen to Mother Earth and messages from there.
I want to talk about that, but before we do, you brought something up really interesting. AI. There are so many people these days that are terrified of AI. I don't think there's anything to be afraid of. It's coming up and into our world. We're in a very, very exciting place in history. I've always said that when spirit and science converge, our lives will amplify exponentially. But on top of that, as AI grows and grows, it is going to become more and more undeniable what an illusion all of this is, mm-hmm. and what a folly it is to try to grip onto a moment or a thing or a place. Because right now, I mean, you pick up an iPhone and iPhones can be programmed to respond in your own voice. It's everything is going to become so transparent that the only choice we're going to have is the choice to let go.
Transparent.
That if you're going to look at somebody through a sheer curtain, you're going to see an outline. Well, if that outline is pulled back and that person looks and feels, smells like they are a living, breathing human being, and they're not, then we have two choices: go bonkers or to let go.
Right.
And that's what it's all about. Now, in juxtaposition to that, you're talking about nature. I've taken people into the outback to work with Aborigine elders, and I've taken people on a number of different occasions into the Amazon to work with Peruvian shamans, Shipibo Indians, and I am in the process of designing a journey to go swim with humpback whales in the wild.
Amazing.
Which just blows my mind.
Right, right.
Every single person that has done it has said it is completely life-altering, and I'm just so excited about doing it.
Where will that be? In Hawaii?
Tonga.
Oh, in Tonga, right on. Yeah.
Tonga is this tiny little island nation that's next to Fiji, and it's one of the few places in the world where you could literally free swim with whales in the wild.
Oh, my gosh.
You're looking eye-to-eye about as close as you and I are into a whale that's staring right back at you. And
isn't scared of you once is okay with interacting with you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All I can think of is people don't understand the physiological response to terror and excitement is so close that it's almost indistinguishable.
Yeah. Interesting.
And that really, the difference isn't what's going on, but instead how we choose to dance with what's going on. And I choose to be excited.
Okay.
And there are places, and everybody has their own entryway, or multiple entryways, but usually we have a primary one. There's earth, air, fire, water.
Mm.
And everybody has a place that resonates most with their soul. For example, I know enough about you to know that you have to practically be pried out of the water a good portion of the time.
I went swimming yesterday, by the way. I was complaining about a sore knee, and Greg's like, you need to be in a pool within the next couple of days, you know, as part of your healing process. And so, yes, very much so.
And there are other people that need the earth. They need to literally dig in to get their hands, their feet, their body into the earth.
Mm.
And there are other people that it's trial by fire. That flame brings something alive in them that resonates for them, makes their being sing. And air is the same way. There are people that
they love the wind, and you know, some people
they'd much rather be a bird than a human.
I know.
And there's nothing wrong. And what people don't understand is it's one of the simplest ways for us to embrace our humanity, to embrace ourselves, to realign with ourselves. And that's over and over and over. You hear people say, trust your gut. I go, don't trust your gut, because your gut may be the gauges may be fixed to trauma or drama or abuse. Mm. And so when you're trusting your gut, somebody trusting their gut sometimes is that woman that goes back to the person that beats them. That's I'm saying, I got to go back there. My gut says I need to be with him or her or whatever.
Is it because it's like a comfort zone? It's what we know? I mean, what is that?
Well, that's exactly
like
what I'm going to talk about comfort zone first, and then I'll go back to answering your question. Comfort zone is one of the biggest fallacies, biggest misnomers that I know of. It's not a comfort zone. What it is a familiar zone.
Yeah.
We as humans will relegate ourselves to a known level of pain and suffering because anything beyond that is terrifying to us. Now, that I can sort of understand. The part that's really messed up to me personally that I struggle with all the time, we also relegate ourselves to a known level of joy and happiness.
Mm.
And we get very afraid to go beyond that familiar level of joy or that familiar level of happiness. And people ask me why.
I know. I'm curious about that. And I don't, you know, because I want to see that in myself. I'm like, am I afraid? You know, Marianne Williamson has that quote, is that we're afraid that maybe we're more powerful than we know.
Right.
I'm paraphrased, but help me understand this.
Yeah, it's our strength, not our weakness that we fear most.
Okay.
And that's right. And the reason for that is because we as humans have been taught abandonment instead of taught that we never really have, so we cannot lose. So go ahead.
Mm. Yes. No, I'm just having a little light bulb. Little light bulb.
All right.
We never really had, so we cannot
lose. We never
lose.
Have. See, the idea, life energy force is like water. If you squish it, it's just going to go through your fingers.
Right.
If you cup it, it's still going to drip out at some point. The best thing that you can do is learn how to body surf with it. Use the energy, the force, the flow of what is in order to navigate in Congress with it instead of trying to capture it. And we are taught to hold on to things. We're
listening to this. I like this very much. Very much.
We're taught, oh, this is yours. What's yours? Right. One of the things that if you ever listen to my radio show, you're going to hear me say ad nauseum is we are both a drop in the ocean and the ocean. Mm-hmm. We are both the universal life force and the universe. We are both a component of God and God. And that last one freaks a lot of people out. Mm-hmm. Are you saying you're God? I go, yeah. It's like if you look at the studies, they say God is everywhere. So if God is everywhere, why isn't he you? Why isn't he me? And why aren't we a living expression of that universal life force, which ultimately is love?
Thank you. Well, and this also goes back to what we were saying at the top of the show, that the guru is you. I mean, it don't separate yourself from the learnings, from the teachings.
Yeah, it's so in the very beginning of my program, I'll say that we'll introduce you to pathways and possibilities, but we're not the light and the way. We're going to shine some light on possible ways. We're not going to tell you what to do, because it's not our frigging lives. It's your life. So you make a choice about what's appropriate for you. One of the greatest gifts that we have as humans is the gift of choice. And we so often give that gift away. And because we're afraid of making a choice, we're afraid of making a wrong choice. But the more we can truly understand that there is no wrong choice, the more freedom we're going to have to make a choice. This choice, no matter what, is leading me to where I need to be in this moment. That's all. What is there as an opportunity? We're not tested. I cannot stand when people say, oh, this is a test. Mm. Or the other one that I hate is, I'm a God-fearing person. Why would you at all want to fear a God?
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me whatsoever. And instead of tests, I say this. Life is incessantly laying out gifts in front of us. And the cliche of that is that's why this moment is a present. It's because everything is an opportunity. Now, just like anybody else offering us gifts, it doesn't obligate us to it. And it doesn't ever obligate us to wear it, use it, employ it in any way, shape, or form. But they're there. And the more we're willing to recognize the beauty, the gratitude, the wonderfulness of this world laying out just so much for us, the easier it is to take what is appropriate for us and leave the rest. You don't sit down to a buffet, which they probably don't have post-COVID anyway, and try to eat the entire buffet. You eat what you like, you drink what you like, and you leave the rest. Well, that's this world. It's the most beautiful buffet at the Ritz.
Aho, as we say in the Sweat Lodge. So why are people suffering? Why are people sad? Why are people so challenged? I mean, I was listening to somebody talk about Los Angeles, and you can say, you know the people are from LA. They're the ones that are, what was it, like, good looking, but with the frowns on their faces or something like that. So I think we sign up for the drama, right? I mean, I think we're signing up for maybe that we have to continually do the work. And so consequently,
but it's not
we're
work.
Still
it's that
on that journey or something like that.
When I first started doing my work as a guide, one of the gifts that I have is I can see a person's essence. And I'd work with somebody and I would drag them kicking and screaming and bloodied and bruised to themselves. And then one day I grew up a little bit more and I realized the arrogance of that, that their life is not going to happen according to my timing or what I see. And how rude of me.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
To try how disempowering it is for me to take that away from them. Instead, I found that my job is to discover bridges, shine light on them, and then if somebody wants to walk across, they're welcome to. And the harder part for me personally as a guide, if they don't want to walk across, I have to respect that. I have to celebrate that as much as I do if they choose to walk across.
It's very important.
Well, because
it's very important information.
So often we say, oh, if they do this, then they're good. Or if they do other, then they're bad.
And there's judgment in all this, too.
Well,
I mean, you're a teacher, so I know that you're
judgy is all get out. Trust me. I'm still a schmo. It's like, I will judge people. Would I like to be above all that? Yeah, but even liking to be above all that is a judgment. So good, bad, right, wrong are all fallacies. Instead, I focus on appropriate or apropos or fitting. So what is fitting in this moment? What could be perfectly okay in one moment isn't necessarily in another. This whole world has decided at different times that it's okay for us to go across the sea to another nation to kill those people. In that moment, there was an agreement that that was apropos, that was appropriate, that was fitting. Now, if they came home and they did that with their neighbor, they would be, you know, ostracized or worse.
Yeah.
Let me start with this. First of all, I don't want anybody to kill anybody. Memorial Day, Veterans Day, Mother's Day. Mother's Day was actually started as an anti-war consideration.
Oh, really?
The thing is, if you really want to honor a veteran, if you really want to honor those that have passed, it's our job to make sure that we recognize that whoever it is that's on the other side of the world, honestly, we could find a way to meet them and to befriend them and to find more commonality than differences. And we so often allow corporate greed that then dictates government action to tell us who to love or who to hate. And that's just silliness to me.
Well, and I mean, through history, I mean, we say corporate, but let's take that out off of the, you know, off the table. Pre-corporations, right? It was still how people were doing it.
Well, pre-corporations, there was dogma, and dogma was essentially religions doing it for their own personal greed and their own personal propagation. It's always about some agenda, and we don't hate each other. We really don't. If you look at the best parts of this country, you have people that are Jewish and Palestinian breaking bread together. You have so many different cultures that find ways to share and enhance and become greater through their cultures, their differences, their perspectives, than for us to diminish ourselves or one another because of those same differences.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. So, I mean, what you were just describing, let's stay on this whole topic of history and how we've treated each other through that, through the Piscean Age, if you will. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a hope for change. What's your pulse? What's the pulse on that as far as you're concerned? I mean, is there evolution? I mean, there's still terrible violence out there. If anything, feels like it's getting worse in some ways as we figure each other out. But I don't know. What's a higher perspective? What's your higher perspective on this?
Typically, things will get cranked up before. If you've ever seen a baby chick once it's broken out of an egg, it's sweaty and tired and depleted. Or if you've seen a butterfly after it's broken out of the chrysalis, it will sit there in the sun, letting the sun dry its wings for a little bit before it can fly. We are coming to that place where the monetary system as we know it is going to have to shift. It's going to come to a place where we realize, make real the idea, the understanding that abundance is everywhere. Everything that we need is available. And the only thing that it's waiting for is us to peel off enough layers in order to avail ourselves of what's already ever present.
Yeah. It's a paradigm shift. Bring it
on. Huge.
Yeah.
And that means, it doesn't mean that there's not going to come with some turmoil and some chaos, but it doesn't have to, because you're choosing how you want to dance with all of this.
Yeah, indeed. And I mean, that's what we're doing here with Truth Be Told, is looking at this and seeing these possibilities, right? And we're so lucky to have a platform to talk about this and hopefully engage that many more people.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, exactly. It's like, so you may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. And so if one person or another person, I'm not asking you to think how I think. I'm asking you to free your own mind and to make choices that you feel are appropriate for you. I'm not saying that they have to appease anybody, but they just have to resonate with your own soul. The key these days is finding that alignment. It's the more and more you're in alignment, the more things are more easily evident.
Finding your truth.
Finding your truth.
Right.
Be told.
So, yeah. But it's interesting because I always talk, you know, at the top of the show, I'm always saying, you know, to live your highest truth. And so I challenge the listener, well, what is that truth? And what's true for me couldn't be very different than what's true for Tony Sweet, who's here in the studio listening in. True for you.
Right. And the idea isn't that I have to think like you think, or you have to think like I think. In any relationship, whether it's a love or a business or whatever the dynamic happens to be, there are going to be components that ebb and flow. If it's an intimate relationship, love is going to come and go. Like is going to come and go. Lust is going to come and go. The one thing that cannot go is respect. Because in that respect for myself and for you, and if I have respect for me, then I can more easily respect you. But in that respect, then I could enjoy your differences, or recognize and appreciate your differences,
and not have to change you.
What?
Right.
Yeah. It's that so often people get into relationships going, great, I can't wait to mold him or her. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for him or her to become this. Mm-hmm. And it is the root of so many different issues. I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've said to a client, they're complaining about their significant other. Well, so it's a bunny rabbit and you want it to act like a fox, or it's a cougar and you want it to act like a dog. It's like, these are the traits of this person.
It's the nature, yeah.
This is their nature. This is who they are. You have two choices. Accept it or make everybody in the room miserable.
Or leave.
Or leave the room.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really ultimately what we have in life always. It's accept the situation, move to shift it from within, or remove ourselves from it.
You cannot change a situation, only your reaction.
Yeah, and then you create a new reality for yourself. All of a sudden, that thing that might have driven you bonkers with the other person, well, you just go, it's a joke now. If you watch Buddhist monks, one of the greatest traits that I've seen in all of the ones that are even neighboring on enlightenment is they giggle. They laugh all the time.
That's incredible.
And to me, the reason for that is you could be in on the joke or you could be the joke. And there's very little else in between. And so if you allow yourself to laugh at yourself, at situations, then all of a sudden they're not a big deal. Because every single time that you get activated, that you get triggered, that you feel pissed off or angry or upset or sad, it's pointing to an aspect of your being that's not healed. It's calling to an aspect of your being that's asking for attention, asking for some kind of love or nurturing. Mm. It doesn't mean that you have to put up with garbage. It means instead it's an opportunity for you to look at an aspect of yourself saying, "Ooh, that hurts."
And why am I reacting to it? One, and why am I hanging on to it?
Right.
Right? Somewhat
right.
In there, like, I don't know, sort of hanging on to the story around it.
Well, and that's the thing, is that there we go back to that holding on. And yeah, that holding on is just a construct that we invent. It's a story that we're writing. If you talk, I was talking to Don Miguel Ruiz, mm-hmm, and he said that each of us, every single one of us, is the author of our own stories. And when I look at you, I'm looking at you through the prism and the prison of my own triumphs and tribulations and celebrations and wounds. So I'm looking at you, but what I'm seeing you through is through the lens of my own experience. So ultimately, you're just a character in my story. And vice versa, I'm just a character in yours. So why would we possibly take anything personally when ultimately it's just, I know that you're not seeing me completely. What you're seeing me through is all of the stuff you've been through. So why should I react to that?
Right. All right. This is the inner journey here. Figuring this out, you know, seeing that in ourselves. All the stuff, just a reminder, again, all of our stories leading up to how we're responding in the here and now to any number of different things, to another person, right? Perhaps it's a work-related situation.
So are you responding or are you reacting?
Right.
And that's what responding is, a choice. A reaction is when we've given away that choice and we've relegated it to some previous situation that happened, some story that we're deeply in bed with and that's deeply embedded in us. And ultimately, the more we can recognize, the more we see, the more we awaken to who we are, the less activating it all becomes, and the more we can have appreciation, gratitude, and celebration with and for.
And peace.
And peace.
That's kind of my biggest wish these days. Inside and out, only because I feel like with that peace, I let go of the needing to figure things out and pushing.
Well,
to achieve.
What's figuring it out mean?
I think it's, to me, it's really sort of not going with the flow, not flowing with the ocean, as you describe. Figuring it out is really thinking I need to have a certain type of boat and paddle and the right outfit and everything to sail those the ocean blue to get things done.
And what does figuring it out give to you?
Nothing. Stress. Ultimately.
No, but it must give you something.
Well, I mean, action items, it must. I think it probably makes me feel that I can achieve this. It's perhaps the steps I feel like I need to take based on my past life and, you know, what I've learned in life thus far.
So I know you fairly well. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. And what I've seen is when you know that all your ducks are in a row, or you get yourself in a place where you could tell yourself that construct, that story, then you can exhale. And what if you could exhale anyway, and you could trust that, don't worry, nothing is going to go ideally. Nothing is going to go ideally. Perfection is the process. The ideal is a fallacy also. It's something that we hold up that is unattainable and the cause of a great deal of misery. But we're perfect just the way we are, without having to fix us or fade us or turn us into something bigger or better or prettier. That the perfection and the gorgeousness of humans, of us, of you, of me, isn't how pristine we are, but the mud that makes us, you've heard this saying, the most beautiful lotus flower grows out of the deepest, darkest, murkiest mud. Yeah. Well, that mud is part of our gorgeousness. And to disavow it or diminish it or to degrade it in any way, shape, or form is certainly not to our individual benefits. And then we're covering up something so gorgeous that we have to share. My lessons, I used to work with a shaman, and I saw him teach from a pedestal. And he taught me a great lesson in teaching from a pedestal, because there was one moment I was there and I saw him doing this, and I vowed to myself that I was going to teach from the mud. Because my greatest teachings don't come and talking about my triumphs. My greatest teachings come from talking about those moments where I've tripped, where I've fallen, where I bruised myself, where I bloodied myself, where I've screwed up so much that I think, how could I possibly do anything from this place? And Muhammad Ali stole something from Confucius, and it said, get knocked down 7 times, get up 8. It's not about getting knocked down. There is, Bruce Lee stole something as well. And he said, the difference between a master and a novice is the novice has failed more times than the master. The master has failed more times than the novice has even attempted.
Wow.
You have to be willing to be wrong in order to be right. You have to be willing to be bad in order to be good. I guarantee no musician ever picked up an instrument and started playing like Hendrix. I guarantee nobody that is a pro athlete is, you know, I was here for your very first show, and I was there for my very first show. I was horrible. I was so bad. But thank God I did an intention setting. And for me, I asked for my first show to be in a dark corner, out of the way, so I could trip over myself without too many eyes on me. So my first time slot, as per my request, was 11 o'clock at night on a Saturday. Almost nobody was there to see me go over myself, but I did, and I still do. I was asked this week, how do you go on when you're tripping over your own tongue? I said, there has not been one show where I haven't flubbed, where I haven't said something silly or wrong or couldn't get a word out or said it in the inappropriate way. And you just enjoy it because it's part of the tapestry. It's part of that painting.
It's real.
It's real. And that's so much more beautiful than the veneer that you so often see in California.
Yeah. Well, and what I think we're brought up to believe that that's how we're supposed to be. So you can say California in the entertainment world, but I think it goes back to, you know, through the ages, the certain properness with the manners and the dress and the hair and the nails and, you know, all that kind of primness. And it's a new time, and this new generation knows nothing of that. And look how smart they are and what they're achieving. This is a funny example, but I'm going to say it. Look at Steve Jobs.
Okay.
Major star, right? I mean, and he would do his presentations in jeans and a black turtleneck. And so, but I came from a school where you had the fancy suits. I mean, that was how I grew up. All the big bosses dress a certain way.
Right.
And, you know, fast forward to the 2000s, and you didn't need to be uncomfortable wearing those suits and shoes to achieve massive things.
Well, because everything is getting torn down. All of those exterior trappings are becoming much less important. That being said, I still see, and, you know, it's my own prejudice because I was born back east, and even though I came out here when I was a little kid, you could take the boy out of Jersey, but you can't take the Jersey out of the boy. You go down a street in New York or New Jersey, and somebody tells you they love you, it means they love you. They tell you they can't stand you, it means exactly that. Here in California, you're going to get people that go, oh, I love you, and they're going, I can't stand this. And it happens a lot. And yet, bit by bit, inch by inch, it's all coming down. All the different masks are coming off.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be respectful of one another. It means let's not be full of it either.
Yeah. Well, and also I think it goes back to what the main point is to really getting to neutral. You don't have to assign a problem to either way of being, whether it's the directness of the East Coast or the perhaps falseness or showbiz communication that we have out here on the West Coast. So it doesn't matter, because I want to go back to that self-empowerment, right? The title of our show, and not having to react to that either way.
Right. And that was a great example. I told you early on, I'm judgy. That's one of my judgy places. And I get it. And it's okay that you are who you are, no matter who you are. And it's okay that I am who I am. And sometimes that acceptance of something that's so either in alignment or diametrically opposed to who we are and how we show up is take some looking in the mirror. Because every time we don't accept something in somebody else, again, it's pointing to a part of ourselves that we're not accepting, we're not appreciating.
That is food for thought. I appreciate that.
And we don't have to be around it either.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of things that you could do with fire. You could cook with it. You could burn yourself. You could warm yourself. And if it's all too much or not appropriate for you, you could walk away from it. Every single thing is a choice. And what I say over and over on Inner Journey is you are the magic, and we just get to help you realize it.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, I'm saying that to myself as well. And getting myself to recognize and appreciate and embrace how magical I am. And so therefore, make it even easier for me to see that beautiful magician that you are.
That's great. I hope everyone feels that very much so. And Greg, I think we're going to wrap right there. And I'm going to let people know that they should listen to Inner Journey with Greg Friedman You can find it at, let me help, KX Radio.
Easiest way is go to gregfriedman.com and everything else will get you there.
There's all kinds of different choices.
Yep.
So much to think about. I hope that you, the listener, has had an experience with these different ways of thinking, ultimately coming back to ourselves. And I mentioned about finding that teacher. Greg, you are a teacher, and yet I know that you're also really shining the light back at each and every one of us. So, gratitude.
I am so blessed to have you in my life every single day. I am grateful to you and what you bring to this planet. And Tony, to you as well. You're just a really wonderful, sweet, Tony Sweet.
Get it, sweet? Namaste, Greg. Come back again soon.
Thank you so much.
Cheers, everybody. This has been Truth Be Told Transformation. New episodes every week going up on Wednesday. Don't forget, Tony Sweet is on live Friday, so you can definitely tune in to the YouTube show to listen to him and ask questions. Robert Hensley, new episodes on Mondays, and Metaphor with Truth Be Told Español on Tuesdays. We are here again to shine the light, to help you shift out of confusion and despair, and really, let's do this together. And by doing so, we hope that you'll help us share and spread the word of what we're up to. Truth be told, until the next time, I'm Bonnie. Namaste.